Okay. So the last thing that we discussed was different perspectives on basically two things. Basically, we're trying to figure out. One is a different categories of hana'a. Hana'a that comes, out of a clear connection to a chefza, hana'a sagabra, hana'a in between of schiros, how that fits in, hana'a where there's a different bailim. These are just different categories, right? Mishulchan gavah kazachu being one example, mamon gavoa being a second example, and in thin mamon gavoa, I should just mention that that's a tricky category in general, but I don't want to get into it right now. But the whole discussion of a maitzah sheni, mamon gavoa, and we have a parallel discussion regarding kachin mizbeach, that being a question whether that is mamon bailim or mamon gavoa. But the point I'm trying to make is that the question of who the formal bailim or where hana'a comes from, why that should be relevant to the impact or the use or the conversion of hana'a is a question mark. And whether it's again mishochan gavoa kazachu, or mamon gavoa, or something like it, or tovas hana, whether it's mamon or not mamon, the idea that should impact on hana's effectiveness in a certain category can, generally speaking, be explained in one of two ways. One is if you need bailus and nesina from a state of bailus. So then, obviously, this would become very relevant. We'd be saying that, tovas hana mamon, is a shiur, if that was a factor, in bailus, and mishochan gavoa kazaku, and mamon gavoa, and so on. The only tricky thing with the mamon gavoa, as I mentioned before, is that it's not so clear that mamon gavoa means that you're not the bailin. It may just mean that despite the fact that you retain bailus, right, there are also elements that have to do with the, chefza and its goal or destiny, which interfere with your bailus. That's a big issue, let's say, in Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa. What does that really mean? The Rav Zatzal used to speak about this a lot. And in one of the pieces, famous pieces in Kovetz Chidush Torah, he has a whole development that perhaps Shitas Rambam is that Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa doesn't mean that you're not the Bailim. It means that what I said before, that the destiny of Maisa Sheni to be brought to Yerushalayim and to be spent for certain purposes, the kiyumim of Maisa Sheni, the destiny of Maisa Sheni, right, interferes with bailus. And as I say, very much parallels what we sometimes talk about in terms of the distinction between kachim mizbeach and kachim bedek habayis. Again, this is a very famous, very strong use of the Gemaras and the Rishonim, and Reb Chaim in particular used to talk about this quite a bit, that the Gemara says about kachim mizbeach. Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Ayin Bava Min Aleph Mi Kara Torah Deruvein V'Hashta Torah Deruvein, that even though there are limits in what you can do with Kachem Mizbeach, it still belongs to the Bailin, whereas Kachem Kadashim, that is Bedek Abayis, that is or any Kachem Bedek Abayis for that matter, belongs to the ownership of Ekdesh. So that's Mikara Torah de Ruvain, the Hashta Torah de Shimo. Okay. This is like an important issue when it comes to Shinu Rishus and Hilchos Gezela and issues of bailus, for other things, including Kiddushin. But the bigger take from all of this is, all I'm trying to say is that the factor of Tovas Hanah Mamon or Eino Mamon, the factor of Mishulchan Gaboa Kazaku, however you assess it, the factor of Mamon Gaboa in Maisa Sheni and in Kadshim, however you assess it, in theory could just be about this question of bailus and sufficient bailus, exclusive bailus, where you need bailus. And if you need bailus in Kiddushin, then that becomes an important factor. Or again, we're within Shloshim Yom. So let's say if we're talking about Bayra, Bayimatze, right? Let's say you own something, you know, but it's Mamon Gaboa also, right? Or, you know, it's Mishulchan Gaboa Kazachu, or there's a question of Tovas Hanah. You have Tovas Hanah in it. So is that, you know, an issue when it comes to Bayra, Bayimatze? So one part of that discussion is the question of bailus and what level bailus is required for kiddushin, for bal yira, you know, for being makdish, you know, for irani dachas, you know, for all sorts of different areas of halacha, for you know, dalad minim. But what we have seen already is that, especially if you think that there either is bailus in these cases, or that you don't necessarily need bailus. What you need is, you know, that you are giving cheftza shel mamon to the isha. So then some of these very same categories or issues, namely, mishulchan gavoa kazaku, mamon gavoa, tovas hanah, and in either direction. We saw yesterday the Netziv's suggestion that tovas hanah might be not mamon, right, and it still might work, you know, for kiddusha. But in theory, we might say also the opposite, right? Even if tovas hanah is mamon, right, maybe it's not enough for certain issues. And the idea would be that if you need to convert hanah into kesef for it to be, you know, for it to qualify for whatever we're talking about. So then the quality, the type of hanah, and the intensity of your connection to that hanah, or the mostly the idea that this is a proper cheftza shel hanah, we'll call it, that has a certain like intensity and integrity, becomes a factor. So maybe tovas hanah, just as it is an issue in bailus, may be an issue in the quality of the hanah. And then, mishulchan gaboa kazachu, mamon gaboa, etc., in addition to or separate from the bailus question, is to what extent is this, from your point of view, hanah? Is it a cheftza shel hanah? Or it's just, you know, you're feasting on somebody else's object. It isn't your hanah. So these issues are the issues that we discussed yesterday. So they are the question whether or not hanah sagabra, how you define hanah sagabra and what the status of hanah sagabra is, how you define and establish, and when you need, call it a cheftza shel hanah, whether you need a relationship between a hanah and a cheftza as part of that, these are questions that could affect the application of hanah to different areas of halacha, bein b'kiddushin, bein b'mecher. As I say, we know these issues from other things too, like mazik, things of that sort. But what we were discussing yesterday is also the possibility of distinguishing between kiddushin and mecher in either direction, and this we also found. Right, there are those who will say that kiddushin requires more, just as we know, right, that maybe you dafka need an added hanah element in kiddushin. So maybe the quality of the hanah needs to be greater too, not necessarily, but that's on the chumrah side. That's where we see the kiddushin requires more than mecher. But it also could be the opposite. It could be that kiddushin requires less. And essentially, the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph of the Isha b'papas misham pruta lo mekanya nafsho, which implies that Ishus requires more, and the, you know, second part of the Hava Mina on Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that, you know, mamon is a siya, even the mechila, but kiddushin is not, those are things that reinforce the idea that kiddushin may require more. And we totally get it. We get it as yitziras achalos. We get it as, you know, building in, you know, a symbolic, kavod or hana and so on. But the other side of it is, well, either way, you know, you can't put a price tag on ishas, and therefore, you don't really need to. And there, that's the other side, and that is, you know, it's either say tav lemeitav tandu melemeitav armelo, which is what the Gemara does quote on Zayin Amud Aleph, and say isha bekoldu nicha. But even without that, you can just get back to the line again of the Rajba, right on Bamud Beis. But again, you know, taking it either lekula or lechumra, lekula the way the Avnei Miluim said it, or lechumra the way that I was saying it, and that is that you can't put a price tag on this, and we're not trying to. And so what we need, in a certain sense, therefore, is, you know, is less or more but different. But this whole discussion of, you know, hanas mechilas milva, or arvachla zimne, or adabra laich l'shilton, or Skoklefanai, or you know, the connection to Tovas Hanah and to you know, Mishokin Gabo Kazaku, all the things that we discussed in the last couple of days, the possibility, you know, of drawing the line, what Hanahs work, what Hanahs don't work, the possibility of distinguishing between Mamon and Kiddushin in either direction, really emerges from the sources that we spoke about. Again, the Netziv very strongly in one direction, but other Rishonim in the other direction. And then there's clearly, you know, the Rishonim who are comfortable saying that it's the same. And certainly the Shaka Vitaria on Zion Amud Aleph, the Chain L'Inyan Mamona, right, is part of that discussion. And as we noted, there's a debate about Rashi's omission of Adam Chashuv, whether or not that is significant or not. One day in the Ramban and the view of the Ritva versus the Rajba, the Ran, the second day in the Ramban, right, that is a significant omission, and that Adam Chashuv may really be limited to Kiddushin. Possibly for the Rambam and for the Rif, that is true also about Midin Shneim, and also possibly Eved Ivri. Midin Eved Kenadi. So then the Gemara is only saying Oren. Now this leaves us with an interesting, I wouldn't say quandary, but an interesting question at least, of how to read the Gemara. Because I would say the following. When the Gemara gives this, you know, the two perspectives, that you could either be more Mekel or more Machmir, you know, Kiddushin relative to Mechira, so the idea that we would invoke either of these sides in other sugyas that come up, right, is very appealing. Again, when the Tziv says, you know, Isha b'koldehu nicha, right, you know, so, you know, the Motzi La'or, or maybe the Netziv himself, didn't put a Zayin Omed Aleph in parentheses, at least not in mind, right? But he could have, you know, because clearly that's what the Netziv had in mind, right? And then in the continuation where he even, you know, mentions, you know, that the connection to the Chain Linyan Mamona, you know, it makes it even clearer. But the point is that for other issues that come up, like for him, Milva, Hanas Milva, Arbachasman, you know, Adabra Laich L'Shilton, etc., Tovus Hanah, etc., to say, oh, yeah, these are the exact, not the ones on the page, you know, but the other ones. But for the question of Midin Shneim, or Evet Knani, or the Rashi's Adam Chashu, it's a little bit trickier, because, you know, if the Gemara is saying, you know, that we equate Mamon and Kiddushin, you know, even though we might have thought differently, you know, even as it's blatantly on the daf, you know, telling us, or, you know, by omission, telling us that there are other, that there are nafkamina, so is that more of a reason to think that these nafkamina are based on this consideration? Or dafka the opposite? Meaning, Like, can the Gemara so blithely just say, you know, we would have thought, Kamash Malan, it's not true. I mean, when the Kamash Malan, it's not true, is not the Yisod either way, but it's not even the application of all the cases on the page. Like, why, you know, you might want to ask the question, you know, why didn't the Gemara say, just like in, you know, Adam Chashov for Rashi, just like in Ebed Kanani or Bidin Shneim for the Rambam and the Rif, right? In other words, it doesn't really matter, maybe I'm just saying it in too complicated a way, really what I'm asking is the proper way to plug in these nafka mina now, you know, assuming that they are nafka mina, and they are, according to very prominent Mefarshim here, Rishonim, is the prominent way to plug them in and to say, you know, the Bekol Dehu Nicha doesn't apply to Areg, but it does apply, you know, to the Lo Mechaser Velo Midi, you know, of Eved Knani, or the Bidin Shneim, or the pure Hanas Hagavra, and even tentative at that of Adam Chashuv, right? Because Adam Chashuv is pure Hanas Hagavra for two reasons. Number one, because there's no skirus or anything about that. There's nothing to it, no chefza to attach itself to. In addition to that, it has another chiddush, and that is that, you know, kind of a low plug idea, right? That, you know, that Adam Chashuv really matters for that, and so on. So, is the right way to read the Gemara and say, well, here, that's because of this? Or is the right way that anything that depends on, you know, Kol Dehu Nicha, or Iboy Isya, or Isyaiv Lemechila, you know, we're rejecting completely, at least on, for the things on the page. And that the real reason that Adam Chashuv for Rashi, or Eved Ivri, or Eved Kanani Ubidin Shneim for the Rambam and the Rif, you know, is different, is for some other reason. Right? Not captured by this, and then you have to formulate something else. We have formulated alternatives. That's not clear, but it's something at least to think about. Okay. Having said that, I just want to speak for one more minute. You know, what comes out of this is that there are different types of hanas in different places to draw the line. We talked about Talmud Rajba being an important formulation in that. The Rif, the Rach, the Rambam, the Ravid, according to those who make it into a Hana thing, being part of that. And the Midin Shnehem issues and the Adam Kasha being part of it as well. So we went through yesterday the Ramban and the Rajba and their formulations of Rav and Levi and how that fits into the Adam Kasha story on Zayin Amud Aleph. And I just want to finish up that by noting a couple of lines in the Ritva and the Ran, just to contrast them to what we did. Okay, so what is there worth adding from the Ritva? The Ritva, like the Ramban and the Rajba, discusses these questions, right? He notes that Rashi omits Adam Chashuv, right? Nira midvar of the Kai Gavna b'mamona lo kani. Like the second day, in the Ramban, he suggests that there is a fundamental difference between kiddushei isha and everything else, but not so much because of hanas hagavra or nichale b'kol dehu, etc. Again, this is an example of what I spoke about just a second ago. One could say that for Rashi. They're all speculating. I mean, we can speculate too. Rishonim speculation is always more valuable than ours, but they don't have an exclusive patent on the speculation here. But their speculation is based on this formulation that the Ramban put forward about some sort of a combination of Hana, of the quality of the Hana and the quality of the husband. Right? So just to repeat that again. Shelo amru chen ala bekidushe isha, shehi rotze binisue adam chashuv, v'yeshla shtei hanos. Hanos kabalas matana, v'hanos nisuin. Avo be'almalo. So is it really just a, you know, half and a half that, you know, that puts it over, you know, the top? Or is this a way of saying that, you know, that the whole nature of the transaction is about marriage here, and therefore, you know, the quality of who she's marrying is going to be a factor, you know, and that's why it can combine, or why, you know, you can use Adam Pasha. That's maybe the way that I would have said it. But Yesh L'Shtei Hanos, Aval B'Amala. Okay.
Aren't those two different Hanos than what we said yesterday?
What's that?
Aren't those two different Hanos in the way we interpreted Shtei Hanos for the Ramban yesterday?
What do you mean?
Didn't yesterday we say that it was about Kiddushin and Nisuin?
No, Kiddushin and Nisuin?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say Kiddushin, as opposed to stage one and stage two?
Yeah.
If I may have said those words, I didn't mean that. I meant the idea of what you get and also the ishus itself. I didn't mean Nisuin per se. Yeah. Even though they do use a language of they may use a language of who she's marrying. Yeah, but I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I apologize for that. Okay. The Yes Soadim Dvarav Midarmina Beparakazava Libid the Rab the Hokusak Vase Shane Kona Bekhalib and Bekal of Shamakna Elo Bekal of Shalkona. Right, and then of course he rejects that because of the reasons that the other Rishonim have already brought up in terms of that. But here's the other point that I wanted to add. Okay. First of all, he quotes that the Gaonim kosvu the Harava kula member Dilael Kai Bapilu Ahida the Pchashev Echin Ikar. But what's fascinating is the raya that he brings. The Yesh raya lazeh. Dilo koi ela atlas memory kamoi my osa rabbele meimar. The chen adin leinian mamona. How do you read the Gemara that says the chen adin leinian mamona? Right, if you interpret like Rashi, because then it means what arev and eveknani and mishum shnehem. He says that doesn't make sense because pshita the ha'inu gufayu, right, mamona. Gmiri lahu, midin arev, umidin eveknani, umidin shneim. Elavade dlo asolashminan elashaf biidach damrinan misvara, belo yofina mi mamona isanami leinyan mamona. So this is an important point, and one again just to remind us of the comment of Rav Elbel, right in the letter, meaning is it true that not only Arev, but Eved Knani and Midin Shneim really comes from Dine Mamonis. What the Ritva is saying is, right, these three come from Mamonis and they're applied to Kiddushin. So you don't need the Gemara to say Bechein Linyan Mamona. All you really need, according to him actually, right, the Gemara is read exactly the opposite of Rashi. Right? Not that Bechein Linyan Mamona and the whole Solka Daitach is only about the three, but it's only about Adam Chash. So we'll want to get back to this maybe in a little bit, and when we get to it, is Evet Knani and Midin Shneihem really based on Mom? And in a way, to highlight it a little bit further, because that what the Griz pointed out in the letters was that the Rambam, you know, even when he quotes Arev and Evet Knani, right, quotes it differently than he quotes it in the Dine Mamonis sections. So in a certain sense, you know, when we say that Kiddushin works, right, according to the Rambam, according to Rav Elbel, right, in Arev, even in Arev Evet Knani, or Midin Shneihem, or just Arev and Evet Knani. We'll talk about it when we get to each one. So the Ritva's question is very acute, right? The Chaylin in Mamona, and then a whole discussion? It comes from Mamona. But if you hold like the Rambam, right, in a certain sense, right, the whole Gemara is very curious. Because on the one hand, the Gemara is equating, and on the other hand, right, there's something different and new here. So is the Gemara telling us that if you were to apply in Mamon, you know, the emphasis of Hana, how do you know that would work? Right? this assumption that the Ritva makes, which is that what's going on in Kiddushin is merely an application of Mammon, is exactly what appears not to be correct, fully correct at least, in the Rambam. Okay, so that's the first ha'ara that I wanted to make. The other ha'ara, just to finish off with the Ritva, is that the Ritva addresses the Levi question more frontally and gives us a dochek teretz, but one we should know. The Kashalan. Levi damar hasam bekelu shamaknam farshin hasam tamad dide dahayanu the makabel matanam ine gamar makni le amai le boishia kona adam chashuv kihaka. Same question that everybody else asks. How come you don't need adam chashuv, right, for Levi? But the answer, panachon dahasam lav lemember daotam habiikar tamad demember de Levi dahasam vaday rav Levi bedrasha de krop ligi. Iboaz nasan le goel, Igoel nasan le boaz. Ul rav chedemilsa noka tautama ke'en time of the kra. So basically, just this is just a fascinating thing that, you know, the Ritva read, because of this question, read the Gemara in Bav Metzia, that when the Gemara says ahi ana, right, that's a second reason. Basically, Levi said two different things. One, that the din of Caliph Shamakna is based on the Gzeres HaKasa, or the Gilui Milsa, let's say, of Shalaf Ish Nalo, referring to Caliph Shamakne, right? And then, L'Ravcha the Milsa, he threw in another reason, namely the reason of Hana. What's important about that is, we labored hard, right? And I think, correctly, because the Pashtus of the Gemara and most Rishonim don't accept this Ritva, to explain how Caliph Shomakne might be a din in Chalipin, right? And so where, what does the Hana mean? I like the Hana of Arev, according to some, and like the Hana of Gud and Igud in Bava Basra, Kuvav, according to some, and so on and so forth, that the Hana isn't the Mechayiv, the Hana is a Mitzarev, or the Hana is something else, right? And according to the Ritva, basically what the Ritva is saying here is that the idea that this is a din in Chalipin, based on Gzeres HaKasuv, and the explanation of Bahi Ana are mutually exclusive. They're two totally different perspectives on Levi. Either Levi thinks that this is Mammon, right, based on Adam Chashuv, or what he really thinks, which is that in Chalipin, it's a special din based on Gzeres HaKasuv of Khalif. Then you don't even need to labor to explain the issue of Hana. Okay, that's in terms of the Ritva. In terms of the Ran, I just wanted to add one Ha'ara too, and that is that the Ran tries to explain, like the Rajba, the position of Rabbeinu Chananel, he tries to explain the position of Rabbeinu Chananel, but instead of saying what the Rajba does, which is that the Hana is a kind of a chameleon, right, that can turn into what you need it to turn into, and therefore can turn into Kesef if you need Kesef, can turn into Kli if you need a Kli, the Ran sounds like he moderated that a little bit and thinks that basically Hana can either be Kesef or a Kli. But he doesn't suggest that it per se is a chameleon. It just may be that Hana, right, has the capacity to be either of these particular two. So he doesn't quote the line that, like, it isn't really Kesef, and therefore we shouldn't be surprised that it also works physically. He doesn't say basically it'll accomplish what you need it to accomplish. Again, let me make it clear. Even for the Rajba, I'm not suggesting that Hana is a, you know, an infinite chameleon. I don't know that to be true. But we do know that it works, Betoras chameleon, because it says it. I'm just pointing out that the Ran, also trying to justify the Rach, seems to have a very more specific application to Kalim and Mamo. And this is the line that I'm referring to. The Chain Das Rabbeinu Chananel, Shekosav Helech Mono V'yikne Nichsi, V'amar Dahiyana Mechsheva Kikli. The Konaba B'Taris Chalipin Osam Nechasin. V'lefize Af B'Mataltalin Koniba. V'lo Tite B'Dvarav Lomar Shu Sover Dahiyana Midin Chalipin Kanya V'lo Midin Damim. Shim Kein Isha Shein Niknes B'Chalipin Heik Niknes B'Osahana. Already you can see that very subtly the Ran is moving in a very different direction than the Rajba, right? The Ran starting off by saying, well, maybe you would think that Rabbeinu Chananel, right, holds that Hana has a particular affinity to Kli, right? And therefore it's Dafka Kli. The Rajba, in my opinion, never would have sustained such a line, right? Because he understands that it's even a bigger Kiddush to see Hana as a Kli than it is to see it as a Kesef. He's only saying that it isn't Kesef either, and therefore it can also even reach further and become a Kli. But for the Ran, the Havamin and the Rach was that maybe it's Dafka Kli. Now, how could Hana be Dafka Kli? Excuse me? So that goes to what we said at the very end of yesterday's Shir, right, Isaac, namely? That maybe what the idea of the Rach is that a Kli isn't a Kli, right? A Kli is Dafka something, you know, which isn't a Matbeya or a Peri, right? Because Matbeya and Peri, each for their own reasons, are not even barterable, right? Or maybe even a focus, you know, of Das. Because, you know, one is, you know, I wouldn't say supper, say snack, or dessert, the fruit, right? Yeah, not the matbeya. And the matbeya, right, is an agreed upon, you know, symbol. But the point is that anything else useful, or anything else that brings intrinsic joy, right, is a kli. So if you'd say that, you could make the argument that hana is more Kli than it is Kesef. Right? And then you could also say that it's both, each for different reasons, but not because Hana is a chameleon, not because it gets you what you need, or gets you some things that you need. So that's the line in the Ran. Elekach dato, dahi Hana, da adam chashuv, chashiva leknosen b'chalipin, ubedamim, ולפיכך איכן אישה נקנס בה מדין דמים, מטלטלין, מדין חליפין, קרקו שנקנה בשניהם מדין שניהם, ולא נודע למה שמית הריף, and so on. Okay, so that's an important corrective, that clearly the Ran, like the Rajba, is justifying the Rach, but unlike the Rajba, feels that, number one, you could have thought it was Dafka Kli, not Kesef, for the reasons I think we just explained, and doesn't have this more fascinating, but also more mechudash perspective, basically for the Rajba. In other words, Hana doesn't happen to be Kesef and happen to be Kli, right? It's Kesef and Kli for the same reason, namely it has a certain flexibility and, you know, malleability, whatever you want to call it, to begin with. And then finally, just one other comment from this Ran, and that is that when he's speculating about why V'loya Dati Lama Lo Kosav, why the Rambam didn't write Midin Eved Knani or Midin Shneim, Shema Savar D'Dafka L'Gabi Kedushin, right, Gomrinan Me'Eved Knani, Mishum De'Eved V'Isha Ka'Dadi Ninu, De'Eved Gomar Lala Me'Isha, Avle Inyan Mamon, then he says, so that's a fascinating suggestion that, you know, Eved Kanani, but it's hard to say that Eved Kanani I mean, Eben Kenani works at Eben Kenani, right? So why should it be limited? You know, why shouldn't it extend to Mumble? But this idea that, you know, Eben Kenani and Isha, Kinyane Isha, have something in common, particularly because of Lolami Isha, is a very, is part of a, you know, much bigger topic. But for our purposes right now, the idea of Kinyan Aguf, Kinyan Iser, you know, something that transcends simply the Dine Mamonis, even more so than Eben Ivri, although that's an issue in Eben Ivri too, that could be the reason, you know, why this particular Kinyan works Dafka here, right? That is a fascinating, an important suggestion, and in building the relationship between Eben Kenani, Kinyanim, and Isha's Kinyanim, that's something that we have to consider more seriously. Okay. So now let me just, now let's move to the sugya on Mem Zayin and Mem Ches, and try to finish off, you know, some loose ends. Okay.
I just wanted to make a small point about, in terms of using Tzri Chusa, the Mechalik in either direction. The Pnei Yeshua by Ribbon. Basically said that it's not considered Ribbon because Isha, whatever, is okay with anything, and it's just exerts a custom that we require her people.
Well, the Shitaso also.
Yeah.
I mean about the Ketsa.
He makes it sound like it's a unique, a Kiddushin works uniquely, which is why even it has this Kula by Ribbon. I mean, if it was Mamonis,
I mean, that's separate from the Tzri Chusa. Or you want to say that's the Pshat in the Tzri Chusa.
Well, using either side of the Tzri Chusa to justify Kiddushin's difference from Mamon, this shows that, which is another example outside of Eben Kenani, Ari, and Adam Pasha, where the Koldu makes Kiddushin different.
Right. Could be. Again, you have to look at the other formulations in the different place. But this is certainly a great makar for, meaning it's a good, on the one hand, it's a good makar, and as I say, a little bit of a pause for, you know, not being so, if it is kamashmalan, what's the difference between these cases? You can always say the difference is, it doesn't express it in this, it expresses in that, but it could also be rejected. Okay, so let's have Avrami, go ahead. Yeah. Just let's go through the Gemara quickly, because I want to just, you know, fill in some issues. Yeah. Amarava Mekadosh Mavenu Mekudeshes. Go ahead. Yeah. So on Lovla Hotzondit, we've already noted the interesting machlokas of Rishonim, right? That some Rishonim say that Lovla Hotzondit at least focuses on the Kesef Be'en, and that's a little bit supported perhaps in the sugya, the continuation of the sugya here as well. At minimum, it seems also to be focused on the Kesef Be'en. Right, Rashi, Avrami, right in the beginning, Eina Mukudeshes, Afilu Yeshna Ben, that's Afilu Yeshna Ben. This seems to be the almost exclusive focus of Tosas Riyazakein in both directions. In other words, Eina Mukudeshes, Afilu Yeshna Ben, and according to the Mandamar Mukudeshes, you know, is it Dafka Ben? Right? Hard to know. And we were saying Milva, you know, lav lo tzanitna. So is that, when you say milva lo tzanitna, so we're saying afilu yeshna ben. When we're saying milva lav lo tzanitna, are we, you know, limiting it to the ben? Or are we saying, well, milva lav lo tzanitna, so the whole milva is a kind of a commodity, right? And therefore, even if it's not ben. So Rashi, as we already discussed, I just want to get it back on the record for the moment. It's hard to know what to do with it, but when, you know, when he explains, go ahead. When he explains Otsa Nitna, he adds.
He says,
Halova. Yeah. So what's the addition there? And the Riazake doesn't necessarily approve. He quotes the Rashi, but he's not so sure about that. Meaning, would it if it had been? It sounds like Rashi is saying that Milva Lav Lahotza Nitna, right? Doesn't just mean that if you had Kesef Be'en, right, that the Milva wouldn't start and you could use that money, right? Or nor does it mean that it's enough of a commodity that if there's a Be'en, you could use that money. Those are two different points. In other words, even if you want to zero in on the role of the Mamon Be'en, it could still be for one of two reasons. We mentioned this already, right? It could just be another way. The most minimal way would be saying, well, the milva doesn't really begin until those Benjamin Franklins are gone, right? But or you could say no, ligabe, you know the milva, right? At least the mil it already began, but you know the kes of be'en is still treated. You know, is something which is ba'olam or concrete, etc. But Rashi is going further, right? He seems to be saying that if you held milva lav lahotza nitna, right, that you would have to keep the money in some sort of, you know, liquid investment, right? That's a much bigger chiddush even. Okay, so that, and the Riazakein doesn't seem so happy with that. Okay, so the bigger question that we've already encountered, but what we've already seen is that some Rishonim quote Milva Lotzon, you know, to show that Milva's itself is just not, you know, Ba'olam. Never mind, you know, the specific things that you can do with it. And by the same token, the phrase milva lav lahotza nitna is used by some Rishonim to indicate that even when there's no be'en, that you can trade the milva, right, in certain circumstances. So when the Rishonim talk about, as we saw, right, in milva sheyeshla mashkon, right, when the Bali Tosis quoted, you know, by the Smag, say that that's considered milva, you know, lav lahotza nitna, right? They're not talking about kesef be'en. And they're talking about the impact that the mashkon has on the milva. And hu adin in some of the other lishonos that we've seen, whether, you know, again, in trying to explain the Rabbeinu Hananel or the Ravid, right, or you know, possibly even the Rif, right. So the use of milva lav lahotza nitna. All I'm trying to show is that we need to do. We've done enough to see samples of this already. That milva lahotza nitna and milva lav lahotza nitna, right. Each of these can be interpreted, right, either very narrowly, right, or very broadly. Very narrowly referring to Kesef Be'en, the narrowest way, the beginning, right, or the end of the milva, right, the second way, you know, where the milva, you know, still retains some concreteness, but the broad way being, while this might express itself, I don't think you can get away with that completely. While it might express itself also in how you look at the Be'en, right, the bigger question is how we look at the milva. Whether we look at the milva as something, you know, I'm using this expression, commodity, it doesn't matter if anyone uses another expression, it's fine. Whether it's concrete, a commodity, a davar sheba liolam, etc., etc. And by the same token, milva lav lotza nitna is being used in these two ways, right, either as a reference to Be'ens, or as a reference to the gemilva itself being more concrete. So anybody discussing, again, Milvish HaShlomash going in this way, or, you know, Tchilas HaMilva, right? Or the difference between Milva Shel Mecher, right, and Milva Shel Milva, which is the Tosfos Ri HaZaken, not as pshat in the Rambam, but, right, his own view on Chav Ches on the base, where he says, I think the difference is Milva Shel Mecher, Milva Shel Milva, right? And he says there very clearly that Milva Shel Mecher is a Milva which is Lav Lahotza Nitna. But clearly that can't mean, you know, anything having to do with the Be'en, because in a certain sense, in the case of Milva Shel Mecher, right, there never was any Be'en. Like, if I give you $100 and then you have to pay me back, it's classical Milva, so there's $100, you know, that we can talk about as being the serial numbers, Be'en or not Be'en, right? But if it's Milva Shel Mecher, so on the one hand, it's more concrete because the counter pressure, right, is greater, like this thing in, you know, this chamor or whatever it is, this unpaid for chamor is like a neon sign, you know. On the other hand, there never was any money. So it's interesting that the Meiri, I told you to look at this on the Mar Mekomos, on Chav Ches, also he quotes this view of the Tosir HaZaken. It also appears in the Rimigash in one place, this idea of being mechalik between Mecher and Milva. By the way, I think I did mention already, it's also a very big discussion in the Rishonim already. Well, really, I guess the Diuk and so on, the Beis Yosef and others, regarding Shemitah Sosafet, right? Whether there's a difference between Milva Shel Mecher and a regular Milva in terms of Shemitah Sosafet. But anyways, the Meiri on Chav Ches quotes it as well. And then he says, oh, this is like a really, anybody remember the line? Something like, this is Davar Zar or something like that. Right? So it's not just that he says, oh, I don't like it so much, you know. Like he said, this is really strange. So I just thought it's interesting. The guy in the bottom, in my Meiri at least, says, you know, obviously with the Meiri had in mind, you have it there, Alex? You have it open? It's like 172, 173? Look for 173. What? Oh, you have different... what's that? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Dvarim Zarin. Is it 173?
I have it on the computer.
Oh, you have it on the computer. So anyway, the guy in the footnote, at least in mine, says I think he says, probably Sofer, you know, the Schreiber. So I think it's Avram Sofer. The condition? Yeah. So I think he says something like, Advarim Zarin, because like it should be even less than a milva in a way, because there never was any money. There's never Kesef Ben. There never was Kesef Ben. Everybody have that comment? It doesn't matter. It's like a, you know, it's a Motzi L'Or comment, but I thought it was a good one. You don't have the Motzi L'Or comments there on the computer? Is it Schreiber? Alex, you have the Avram Sofer? Somebody else redid the whole Meiri on... What?
The Kovetz.
Oh, you have it in the Kovetz. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I want to give him credit because I think it's a good horror. But, so, right. All I'm trying to show is that both on Milva Lahotzon Nitna and Milva Lav Lahotzon Nitna, we have explicit Rishonim, right, who are... Essentially, this is what Tosis asks in Bava Kamma. Which Tosis in Bava Kamma? Josh. Michael? Moshe? Which Tosin Bava Kamma? Moshe?
Mem Vav.
Mem Vav? Bava Kamma Mem Vav.
Oh, sorry, I was in
Bava Mitzia. No, that would be Bava Mitzia Mem Vav. That makes sense. But there is a Bava Kamma Mem Vav. I just don't think it has any relevance here. Bava Kamma Lamed Vav would have been okay. But it wouldn't be the right answer, but it would be okay. Bava Kamma what? Tzadi Tes. Tzadi Dalet? Tzadi Dalet, Bava Kamma, Tzadi Dalet is like the beginning of a Gozel, right? Isn't it Tzadi Tes? Right? Yeah, so what it's supposed to say in Bava Kamma, what is Bava Kamma Tzadi Tes? It's the It's the same Gemara as the Gemara here about Yesh al Shkiras Mitchila Batsof, about Shirayim v'Nezamim, correct? Yeah. So why didn't I put it on the Marmakomos?
Yeah.
Well, why is it on the Marmakomos? What does it say? The Gemara has there, if you hire somebody to make Shirayim v'Nezamim, so if you hold Yesh al Shkiras Mitchila V'Atsof, so that's Milva, right? What's the problem? Anybody have to tell us?
Yeah,
go ahead.
So what I'm reading here, the Yekresha, if you do Shem Rots, which I call it Kodem, I got some on the Yada, Kodem Kodesh, I said, I'll be sure to say, ever slow, you should reach on the Vishi, you should have the serious appeal of that, so keep on Shem Yachol, the top of the Din, the Star, actually, you have on the Yada.
No, the bottom tells us. On Tzadi Tess.
That's
good.
Right? Oh, sorry, wrong. Ramir Sabar, I've got you on the
if you hold the Yeshua Nesiris Mitzchila Batzov, so then it accumulates and it's a milva, right? Go ahead. We still have to talk about the Rajba. I don't know if we'll get to that today. Maybe when we finish up with this on Monday. But yeah. Okay, good. Are you reading the right one? The bottom tells us on?
Yeah.
I mean, the other ones are good too. We have very important sugyas. But we're not going to do Uman Kono B'Shvakli right now. We're not going to do Yeshon Sechir Simtzgila B'Adsof as a sugya. We're just interested in the Kaddish B'Milva, right? So there's a very, Tosus asks like a very pointed question. Doesn't answer it, doesn't it? Am I right? Yeah. Give us a second. Yeah. No. Is that it? One second. Is that the one I told you to look at?
You said Dimasal Ella.
What?
Dimasal Ella.
Ella. Yeah. So where's Dimasal Ella?
It's further
up
on the.
No one saw it yet?
It's further up on the end.
Okay, I just don't want to spend so much time. I thought Tosis' point was. Where is it?
It was the first one I was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Second. That doesn't seem right either. But Tosis there asks the question, how can you talk about Mekadish B'Milva, Mekudeshes Eina Mekudeshes when there's no money? Isn't that Tosis? In Bava Kamma? Tzadi Tess. No? No. That's not. Anybody have a Bava Kamma here? A Gemara Bava Kamma? It doesn't matter. I don't want, if not, I'll look it up. Do we have anybody have a Masech Bava Kamma? Maybe I'm confusing with something else, in which case I apologize. I'll check it out. I'm pretty sure it's there. The question is, as I said before, both in Milva Shel Mechira and in Yesh al Neschiras Mitchila V'Atsof, right? The Gemara implies in Kiddushin and Bava Kamma, same Gemara, in Kiddushin and Bava Kamma, the Gemara implies that if you held Mekadesh B'Milva would be Mekudeshes, right, that would apply in this case, that the only reason that it's not is because if you hold the Eshon Sechiras Mitchila V'Atsof, right, so it's a Milva, and Mekadesh B'Milva and a Mekudeshes. And let's say you paskin Mekadesh B'Milva Mekudeshes, so it would work, right? Where's the Be'en? If you think that milva, it's because milva lavlo tzah nitna, and that milva lavlo tzah nitna means that there's kesef be'en, that the kesef be'en can be used, where do you have that in Yesh al Neschiras Mitchila V'Atsof? Isn't that what Tosfos asks above the Kamma Tzadi Tess?
Is that what he's asking there?
What?
No, he's asking the first question.
Oh, maybe it is. Which one?
No, I mean, I'm misreading it.
In which one?
It's on Rav Meir Sefer Mekadesh Milva Mekudeshes. Same
with the same octave.
No, it was like
Bikadon.
There's no
Ben. Oh, correct. Okay, maybe that's the one. Bishum Ben. Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay. So I got the wrong number. I got the wrong. I wrote Ella?
Yeah.
Okay, you wrote
okay, I just wasn't patient enough. The Ein Svar Lomar, the Masha Hichsa Lohan Azamin Machashiv Kimilva Ben, Kimilva Ein Omen Kona Bishvach Kli. Right, so that the Nazamim always belong to the Lova. Right? So basically the Lova owes the Malva, the Skirus. But if that's true, then what does it mean when we say that Imlo Nishtair Himenu Klum and Imkudeshas? Vo Dimken Amai In Mkudeshas Rabbi Meir, Volition Del El. Right? Who calls Mekadesh? Right? Oh. Right, so that's the question. How could basically this is Tosas asking? I'm sorry to waste time. This is Tosas asking the question: how could you talk about the debate of milvelo tzom milvelo, the kaddish milva mekudeshes and mekudeshes, right? In yeshon the skliros mitchila v'yatzom. Right, but that's kind of what the Meiri was saying about milva shemachira too. The answer in both cases, again, if you focus only on the Be'en, these are very good questions. If we say that, you know, what's going on with the Be'en is an indication, right, of whether or not the milva itself is a kind of a commodity, right? So then you might say, right, maybe you need that in a regular milva. Maybe even in a regular milva, right, it's only an indication. We'll see in a second. The Gemara does sound like you need it a little bit. Right? But Lu Yitzurya, you had the kind of milva which was more concrete to begin with anyway, like milva shel mechira or milva shel schirus, although you could be mechalik between them, but I think the same idea, the neon light, you know, and the correspondence, in other words, to something more concrete, right? In one case to a chefza, in the other case the skirus that you owe. Skirus that you owe is something in between like a milva and a chefza, in my opinion. But it is certainly more than a regular priyas balchov, mitzvah, whatever. So I think that is a good answer to this question, and it fits in with the Rishonim who are using those expressions or are using milva lo tzon nitna milva lav lo tzon in general to discuss whether or not this is a davar shabali olam or shalom bali olam, right? Again, even the, I think Josh brought to my attention the other day, right, when the Ritva Alatar wants to, you know, he elaborates a little bit. Milva lav lo tzon nitna, therefore it's like a davar shalom bali olam, he says. And even if it's bisman piron, and even if there's a chiyuv shvua, right? Like, what does the chiyuv shvua do with anything? And what does the chiyuv piron have to do with anything? So again, if you think, you know, that it's all about the concreteness of the milva, then it has a lot to do. Okay, so this is something that we've seen already, and that we, you know, we need to explain some of these phenomena. Okay, let's continue for a moment. Go ahead. Then comes Betizbra, Ema Seifa.
Ema Seifa.
Yeah, so v'shavim b'mecher we've done extensively, right? It is the view of most Rishonim that they're equal, and of course we discussed Rashi and the Rambam. I mentioned also the Yerushalmi and so on. I should just add that the, which I did I think on the Mar Makomos, that the right, the Rajba Alatar in v'shavim b'mecher. Yeah? Anybody see it? Also quotes that Yerushalmi as a raya. Everybody have that? The Rajba Alatar quotes the Rajba as maybe a source for the Rambam. We spent a lot of time. We noted that, which is very particularly important to us. Why? Because We noted that the Gra, when he talks about the relationship between Karka and Metaltalin, says that Milva doesn't work in Karka, in Metaltalin, and certainly then it wouldn't work in but the other way. Milva doesn't work in Karka, and then certainly it wouldn't work in Metaltalin. Right? Obviously the Gra thinking that it's easy to be to acquire, it's easier to acquire Karka because Karka is nikta b'kesef, whereas Metaltalin, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, and so on, right? And of course, what we were saying, what I was saying for the Tosfos Riyah Zakein was that he anticipated, you know, the Rav's approach to the topic, and then I was going even further than both, suggesting that, you know, you don't even have to say it's a machlokes, you could just say that the sugyas are talking, they are talking about different things. And then I was also suggesting that the Yerushalmi, the Pashtos Yerushalmi, makes a distinction between Karka and Taltalin in that direction. So it's just interesting to note. Anybody have a line in the Rashba? Where he, the Shom B'mekar, and he attacks the Rambam, but then, go ahead.
The Garcia and Hosan Bimetalin in Mosun and Solomisha Para, BK Lamit Mekho Nishma in Minada, Minada Harealaha is the Yain, Yain in Loha, Imeshla Yain Chayev, Tani Revichia, Imeshla Yain Chayev, Litin Lo, I can't be Rishami. The Venere Lafiza, the Masha Umber Bimetalin in Mosun and Solomisha Para, Davka Beshahazar Bohalo Kayah, Aval Beshahazar Bamoker, EF Shalalakzar Bo.
He also reads the Rishami, making that distinction, because there are other, some of the notes of Caleb and Rishami try to read it otherwise. So the Rajba also brings this in, and that works very nicely, maybe as a makar for the Ramban, an additional reinforcement maybe for the Ramban, to make the chiluk within the Bavli in that respect as well. Okay, let's continue. Guli Ochri, right? Other, another pshat, yeah. Ochmai Eskinon. Yeah, so that's an inch. That's not our topic now. That's fine. Go ahead. Which I told you to look at for the next topic, right? That's the Gemara Dafkes. Lema.
Lema kitanai kitanai amal shmeitzer. So amik mana chaser dinar ksev ala milsal misbay.
Okay, good answer. Okay, now we get a little bit more into some of the nitty gritty, which is important for what we just talked about and going forward. Go ahead, Meisve. Oh, so what does that mean? So that view. If you could seize this havamina, we'll see the Gemara is going to throw it out, that b'milva alfa pishalon ishtai remenu shavapruta would be mikudeshes. So what does that be? What should that, what does that point to? That mikadesh b'milva, if you hold that milva is subject to kiddushin, that it would work even if there's no ban.
Correct.
Right? But Rashi says what?
Mechila.
Not only that, but mikudeshes me'ahi ba'hi hana demachal al gaba. So it's hana'as mechila.
Right.
And why does Rashi do that? Clearly, because he wanted to avoid, even in the Hava Mina, right, this idea, because Lishitaso, he usually emphasizes
the din that has to be
bent. Even so, what? Even according to the Manda Amar, Milvalav lotzan it. But the truth is that this is very peculiar. It should get... I don't know if the Mefarshim Al-Attar speak about this or not. I don't remember. Why should it be peculiar? I mean, just anticipating.
Just because...
Because the Gemara does definitely see this as what?
As a case of where it's ben and not a case of
Mekudashis. As a case of Mekadish b'milva Mekudashis reina Mekudashis.
Right, not a case of Anonis.
Right, so it sounds like if you hold me, on the one hand, Rashi wanted to avoid, because it's peculiar. Like, you don't, why do you insert Bahi Anod Demachal al Gaba here? Right, it doesn't belong. Clearly what he was saying was there's no Be'en. That's the whole point. L'nishtar be'pruta. So we need something here. But if that's really true, he kind of, you know, parshanuted himself out of his prize, chiddush on Vav Mud Beis. I would say prize chiddush, maybe. Meaning what? The Gemara says on Vav Mud Beis, said from Mekadosh Banos Milva, Mekudeshes, the Arba Chalazimna, and Rashi says there, Avrami, Mehu Adin, Hanos Mechila, right? And not everybody thought that was true. Even the Ramban of the day, it's true that the Ramban and the Ran's day, that they, were a little more equivocal about it, was for more pragmatic reasons. If you do it that way, the guy's really, it's maybe he's not really thinking so much, right? But we suggested that there may be something else involved here, right? And that is that maybe Mechilas Mamon Milva, even Hanos Mechilas Mamon Milva, maybe on the one hand it seems like what do they say in the modern parlance, of I guess March Madness? Yeah, March Madness? On the one hand, it may seem like a slam dunk, because if Arvach Lazimna is going to be Hanas Milda, is going to be Hanas, that's going to work. Right? So, Mechilas, Kala Kesef, Hanas Mechilas Kala Kesef, is certainly going to work. And that's kind of what Rashi had in mind. Ad Kedei Kach, that the Rishon Rav is saying, so why not just say that? Okay, good. And we have our answers. But on the other hand, we had two good reasons to think that there might be a reason to be cholek against Rashi. Again, I don't think that the Ramban and Ran are cholek against him in a principled enough way, right? But we were suggesting two reasons why you could, right? One is, lo yehei tuf, two different ways, I guess, of interpreting lo yehei tufel gadol min haikar. Right, one which is saying, well, you need a hana that derives from the cheftza, and this cheftza, is already, if it's not good as a cheftza, then it's not good as a cheftza that produces a hana, either kind of a kumle bedrava minai type eclipsing idea. That was one idea that we had, correct? And the other idea, right, is Adam gets the credit, right? Is the idea that in milva alone, it's just much more amorphous, in milva, to speak about milva as money, right? And mechilas milva, as a hana. Because kind of that's the point in milva, is that you're giving him the opportunity to do this, and so on. So for that reason, right, maybe in other things, but not here. So I think what's so fascinating is that Rashi has it here. He didn't need, it's superfluous here. It's only here because he's bothered, obviously, since there's no Be'en, that's the whole point, there's no Be'en. So what is this? At the same time, it's going to get dropped in a couple of minutes, right? It sounds like this gets dropped too. So is this maybe here to create like a ben, but it is really Betoras Milva and not Hanos Milva? I don't know. I think this might be the echo of it, even within Rashi. Okay, something to think about. Let's continue. If not, then Loi Nishtar Mimenu Shava Pruta Mekudeshes is a freeze frame, right, for Mekadish b'milva Mekudeshes lav lahotza nitna, without a ben. Good. K. keep going. What does that mean? Im Steyer, in Lo Nishtayer, Lo. But then at least what we're saying is that you don't need, this is important too, and this will be discussed in 2 minutes in the Hemshech HaGemara, what's important about that? That you don't need the whole ban. That's the previous Deya line in the Gemara was that you don't need any ban. Right? And that's where we just had our little discussion about Rashi, and especially in light of Rashi about Medbeis. Correct? Now the Gemara is saying, Harei u kipikadom, but it's still enough, as Rashi says, dim nishtayer in lo nishtayer lo. You don't need the whole ban, as opposed to what the Gemara is going to say in a minute, which is that maybe you need the whole ban. Now, what's the difference between the view that you need the whole ban or you need something of the ban? Hard to know. Is that just like, you know, a difference in, you know, is that a difference like fundamentally in milvalotza, milvalavlotza, and so on, in terms of the concreteness of the milva having an expression and so on? Or is this about, you know, tchilas hamilva as opposed to the milva hasn't really started yet? Hard to know. But definitely important. Go ahead. Right. But even then, that's an interesting argument within, right? At that freeze frame. Go ahead. So this is a question, right? Yeah, it's a corrupt brice, which is really disappointing, right? Okay, but still you needed to, you know, how they, when they were thinking that it was a kasha, right, they had to have a way to interpret Lo Nishtayer in some way. So as disappointing as it is, we, you know, we still get the benefits of talking about it. Okay, yeah? Because it's anyways a milva. Yeah. Is there something to say here about this? I mean, could you be mechalek between something which is received as a pikadon as opposed to something which is received as a matan maos? What? Exactly. In other words, it's interesting that the Gemara here, again, you know, a pikadon is not a mecher. Right? But a pikadon is also not, in other words, we're talking about different things here. There's a milva shel mecher, a milva shel schirus, right? The classical milva of matan maos. And here we have a milva, right, based on, you know, a pikadon, based on basically achrayas. It isn't, it's a different category. It's based on achrayas. Pikadon kol eich isa b'shusa demara isa. When I receive the pikadon, I don't really receive anything, meaning the pikadon is in the rishus of the mafkid, of the owner, the bailim, right? The nifkad becomes a love based on Kabbalas Achrayas, right? But he never received a be'en to spend anyway, right? On the other hand, there was a correspondence for his lack of shmira, or for his achrayas of shmira. So just in terms of the identifying the different types of milvas and the possibility of distinguishing them, this is a different one. So it's not so, I mean, I might have given that answer. Maybe it's kal v'chomer, maybe it's not enough of a distinction for this, right? But the equation between milva and achrayas, pikadon as milva, in light of our sensitivity to possibly making distinctions, is something to know. Okay, keep going.
Hello.
Tritzachi.
Hello, Tritzachi, yeah. Menova Abish and Steyer, Himanish, Abaputa, Inu Kudeshes.
So what is that? That's what I was referring to before, right? In other words, the question is there a difference between the entire milvah being intact, be'en, or nishtayer bo shavapruta? But again, I would just be much more inclined to think that if you cared about the entire amount, if you dafka required the entire amount, that would be a shir in tchilas ha'alva. And that, by the way, makes more sense when you consider that the Gemara at least thinks in Hava Mina that this affects also onsim. Right? I mean, the loaf is not even chayv onsim until he starts spending the money. That has nothing to do with the concreteness of the milva, right? That does have to do with whether or not the milva has begun. The question is, if you hold milva lav lahotza nitna, or you care, in other words, of nishtayer, you know, pruta, so are we just adjusting, are we saying, oh, you know, there's no chalos milva as a holistic, you know, entity. You know, it reduces to, you know, multiple prutas. I give you $100, so it's $100 loan. You know, it's 100 or 1,000, you know, pruta loans. So whichever part of the pruta loan is nishtayer, is fine. That's the issue. Or the issue is that when the Gemara thought it was the totality of the milva, what they were saying is it isn't the milva. And that's why they thought it applies even to onsim. But the question of nishtayer bapruta is a question of the status of the milva. Now, the status of the whole milva, as long as there's any be'en, right? Or only the status of the be'en part of the milva, right? That's still a debate. Either way, by the Gemara here seemingly telling us that even if you hold milva is subject to kiddushin, right? That maybe it would only be nishtayer, be'pruta. This Gemara is maybe this is the Gemara basically that motivated the Rishonim, right, to keep emphasizing the role of the ben. It's very hard to read this Gemara otherwise. The only question is, right? A is, you know, is this the only Gemara that's koveya, or more likely what I was saying before, to answer Tosis and Bava Kamma, which is all the Gemara is saying is that when you have a classical milva, right, without nishtayer bo pruta be'en, you know, you're never going to say that it's lav lo tzadit. But maybe with the less than a pruta be'en, we can say that the totality of the milva, not just the pruta, no one says here in the Gemara that, you know, you have to be mekadesh and isha with the amount that's nishtayer. Right? They only say that it, you know, you need to be nishtayer or pruta. So if it's nishtayer or pruta and you're mekadesh the isha with $50 or $100, maybe that would work. So if you think that it only means no, what we said before, the milva hasn't begun. So now it hasn't begun for this part. Then that's all you can spend. Or even if you think that it begun. But what we mean when we say the minimum, or the maximum, rather, that we believe and we say that milva lav lo tzo nitna is that, right, that if it's still be'en, that you can do it. Right, but then you can't go beyond that amount, right? Whether it's be'mecher or fine, you don't need to necessarily, it's not kasha, because you can be kaddish and you can with a pruta, and you can also, you know, acquire a piece of karka, you know, bepruta. But let's say you wanted to be bekadisher with, you know, with a dinar, and let's say the milva was worth a dinar, and let's say it was only nishtayer pruta. Is it possible that, again, some concreteness you know, is energizes the entire milva to be lav lo tzon nitna, that is not excluded in the Gemara. That's for sure. Okay? So just to sum up, in the freeze frame of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, before the Gemara throws out and calls it a corrupt brisa, the Gemara definitely had a kiddushin b'milva, right, without any ban, or without a pruta ban. Again, Rashi tried to neutralize it, but the pashtus of the Gemara, that's what it was. Rashi's neutralization raised another issue for us, and that's what I meant. When the Gemara ends up saying, no, you at least need Nishtayr according to Rashi, that seems difficult, because it's not true. Let's say no Nishtayr, but he's Mochel v'Hanas Milbo, we said before, it still should work. That's the kasha that I meant in Rashi. Unless Rashi is also hedging his bets here, saying, yeah, I know this isn't Hanas Milba, but it's still the only one that's going to work. But it's the perspective of, for whichever of these two reasons, right? And so on. That's A, to take away. B, when the Gemara says that there's a relationship between Pikadon, Achrayas, and Milva, this is another, you know, Hechatimtzi of Milva that we might be Mechalik, although the Gemara here certainly isn't, right? Mechar Skiros, Pikadon, classical. Three, when the Gemara shifts to the sugya of Milva Brishus Ravim Lechazara, and especially when they thought it was Huadin Lonsin, maybe that's qualitatively different than Nishtayr Pruta, maybe not. Depends on how you look at Nishtayr Pruta and so on. And finally, is it possible that even if you need this is the Gemara that makes the Be'en part important. Can you be mechalik between different milvas under these conditions? Number two, if nishtayer pruta, right, can you still be mekadesh with more than that in the milva according to the mandamar mekadesh? Okay? Keep going. A little more, then we're going to stop in 1 more second. Just get this part through. Go ahead. Yeah. My time, yeah. So when the Gemara says this, should we reassess what we just said? That's are we still sticking with the idea that Milva Brishus Bailim is a din in the Halva not beginning? The only thing is that Le'inyan Onsim, it's Logara Mishoa. Right? Or should we now think that, you know, good, it's Lagar Mishal, but that at least means that it's a milva. And therefore, what this really was is a din in milva lav hotzonitna, which says that the whole milva has to be be'en in order to be concrete enough, even though it has a shame milva. Okay? I should also add one other point, that is it really Logara Mishaela? Is it Logara Mishaela? I mean, the Gemara says Logara Mishaela. So why is the Shol Chayiv Ba'onsin? Kol Anos Shalom. Right? So there are two ways to understand that. One is, it's an implicit Kabbalah Akrayas. Right? And the other is that, no, because he's a Bailim. He's a Mikzas Bailim. As a Mikzas Bailim, you know, he should be the Akray. So in light of those two, is Milva, we just say about both of them, maybe, I'm saying, not so sure. We just say that about both of them, Milva lo kol shekein, that it's Lagara Mishaela. Because when you're using the Milva, you're not using it b'toras his object, you're using it b'toras, at that point, it's b'toras your own object. That's kol shekein, in one respect. But it's not completely kol shekein, in another respect, considering you haven't yet, you could use it anytime you want. Right? That's the kol shekein. And when you use it, you're going to use it as yours, even more so than the shoel's. On the other hand, the shoel, right, from the second that he receives it, the shas meshicha, he has kinyane she'ela. He's already a shoel. If you're not really already a malveh, the fact that when you're a malva, it's shalcha, and you can make yourself a malva any second, doesn't necessarily mean that until you have, that it's lagara mishoel. Okay, just something to think about. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Ella.
Ella Hadam Rabuna, I shall accord him in Habero, Bikabo Kino, Obikabo, Lokino. So, Mema Kitanaya, Melish Mainze. So, now I can't complete the element over to Lohajavina. About Vishila, the Hajavina, the record, Bikabo, Lobikabo, Lokino.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll stop here. I just want to finish off on I guess, Monday. So we want to talk for a few minutes about Iskanchali Bishtarchov. We've already talked about Tosis and the Ran. I want to speak about the Rajba a little bit. I think that was on the Marm Kolmos. Because he compares it to Milval Amashkon, Lishitoso, that's very important. Then probably either we'll skip... we don't need to do the... You know, the other Gemaras that are interesting but not relevant. I want to speak about Milva Upruta for just a second. I want to talk about the Rambam. And then I want to speak about the end Gemara here just a little more, about Yeshel Neskiris Mitzvila B'Yad Sof, Mem Ches Amid Alf to Mem Ches Amid Beis. In other words, you can skip, if you want to. We're not going to read Otsios Nikos B'Sir, all that. Right, you can just do this one little Gemara here, then look at the Gemara very quickly, very, very quickly, on Milva Upruta, and then Aseli Shirayim Nezamim Metabos. I want to still speak about the Rajba and Tosis Rid on that. So I basically want to finish up Monday. I want to start Monday with tonight also.